Welcome to Legacy Women's Podcast, where we seek to encourage women in their relationship with God and one another through monthly conversations with the women of Cornerstone Church of Knoxville. These wonderful ladies have agreed to talk about this topic of worry and anxiety. We've got Megan Mason, Shelley Carlton, Amanda Muirhead, and Michelle McKinley. And so let's get started. If you find yourself struggling with worry, what are some good questions you might ask yourself to identify root causes or issues?
I think one of the big questions that I found both for myself and talking with other people is, am I trying to control something that I'm not meant to control? Am I taking on burdens that aren't mine to carry? In another question too, like, is this situation anxiety producing because it's forcing me to confront the reality that I'm not enough? I also think another good question is, am I worried that I'm going to lose something? I think too, some of these questions can kind of go both ways for both anxiety and for fear. As I was thinking through, I was like, well, is this a fear question or anxiety? But I think it can go both ways. Am I afraid that I'm going to be losing control of something? Am I anxious about losing someone I love? Am I anxious about my reputation? That was one application I thought of to really think through in certain situations. Like, is there a pattern in the situations that make you anxious? Is it like public speaking, being in large crowds? I think sometimes our anxiety can reveal and I think questions can be helpful. Things like, whose glory am I seeking, mine or the Lord's? Whose reputation am I trying to build, my reputation or the Lord's reputation? And I think sometimes that like fretful, anxious heart can be a symptom of, hey, in this moment, I was seeking to build my kingdom and not the Lord's. And I think that's something that we can repent and ask the Lord for grace for. But I think those can help us discern maybe what specific things we need to repent of and then what specific truths we need to hear to help us combat that.
As I thought of this question, I just thought whether it's fretting because I don't have enough time in my day for my to-do list, or grieving over catastrophic news that affects me or someone I love, I eventually come back to a couple questions. Do I believe that God is in control of every detail of life? And do I trust him to work all things together for good? So that's wrong.
Some of the questions that I ask are, what am I wanting certainty about that I can't get certainty on? I like black and white things, so often I want to feel 100% certain about something. What are the circumstances that are causing me to feel this way? Is there stress at work? Is there a straining relationship? Is there an irrational fear that has been persistent? Is there a hard family situation going on? Who is my God at this moment? Kind of what you guys were saying about control. Do I feel I have ultimate control? Do I feel like someone else has control? Am I trusting that God is in control? And then I also think like questions like, have I gotten sleep? Have I been outside? Have I been watching too much TV? I think some of those things can affect our bodies. And when you haven't gotten sleep, you're not able to fight anxiety as well. So just some of those.
I think mine are a little more general. It's like, what is true or not true about my worry? And that helps me to see, is there a scripture that I can use to fight what's not true? Where is God in this worry or situation? Which I think I'm just saying a little bit different what you guys have already said. What has happened or not happened? And is this situation occurring right now or is it in the future? And then are these what if concerns, worries in my heart?
That's really helpful. I think sometimes it's going on in our brain and we don't stop. I don't stop to think, oh, wait, maybe I should interrogate what's going on. Kind of like David, he's like, why are you downcast, oh my soul? It's like, you should ask yourself why. Because I think it can help. Those were excellent questions. It can help tease out what you believe about God or maybe more details about the circumstance that you hadn't really, that was there under the surface, but you hadn't really said to yourself or said out loud. So what are the things that you found helpful in battling worry? And are there passages to study or meditate on? Obviously, we went through a bunch this evening, but do you have any personal favorites?
So I think with the topic of worry, I think that, and I've kind of thought about this for a while, and it's not necessarily where I'm thinking about the worry, but I think about grace. Thank you. Hi, can you guys hear me now? Anyway, but I thought about the principle of grace, and when it comes to thinking about like manna in the Old Testament, you know, they got manna every day. They got what they needed the day they needed it, except on the weekends, and there was special provision. And so I thought about the Lord's, you know, his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And then the verse that we're discussing in the article, we're out of Matthew 6. And therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And then on top of that, coming in with the power of grace is like 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And then Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And the reason I head that way is because a lot of my worries right now are time-based and things that are coming in the future that probably are going to happen related to aging parents and health issues. And so the Lord has given me grace for today, and this is where I need to stand. And when that thing does or doesn't happen, because we don't know what happens in the future, there's going to be the Lord with me, and the Lord's going to give me his grace and favor and power to do what I need to do in that moment. And so that's kind of how that's what worry looks like in my life right now. And so that's kind of the verses that I've been using to kind of think through that concept.
I think CCEF, Christian Counseling Education Foundation, they have a lot of helpful things. They have conferences on topics like related to marriage, family, psychiatric diagnosis, anxiety, depression, all of it. So they have a conference every year. A group of us usually go. Next year's on rest, so if you guys want to go, it's great. It'll be encouraging. Fiction, so we were actually talking about this at our table, but Pilgrim's Progress has great imagery on the Christian fight. John Piper has a lot of resources on anxiety. Tim Keller has a great sermon called Praying Your Fears, so you can listen to that. And then just doing the next thing, it was in our reading, and I think the panel a couple times ago talked about it, but a lot of times when we've prayed about something, at least when I've prayed about something, it's easy for me to just think. And so I think trusting God is saying, I've prayed about it, so now I can just trust him and go do the next thing, which is washing dishes. So that is it.
Okay, when I think about battling worry, some things come to mind. Number one, prayer. Casting our burdens on the Lord, to roll the burden over to the Lord. We can lay our burdens before God and acknowledge that he is Lord. In this trial, I need to submit to his will. But at the same time, he invites me, as his, since he's my heavenly father, to ask for good things. He's all-powerful and all-loving, and I can trust his plan, even when it looks very different than what I would have chosen. I don't have to carry this burden. This rolling of the weight of the burden onto the Lord brings peace. Sometimes I need to do this on a moment-by-moment basis. I think also that fasting can be a valuable part of this prayer for conquering worry. Second, spend time with the Lord, reading his word, meditating, listening to him. Being in his presence chases away fear. Time with the Lord helps to deepen the roots that will help you stay grounded through any storm and soak up the life-giving water and nourishment that we need. Also, to take every thought captive. Fear and anxiety are a battle of the mind. Keeping a notebook to jot down scripture that addresses fear and anxiety, and reminding myself of those truths when the battle is on. His word is our final authority, not our emotions. Some scripture that's helped me over the years is Psalm 94:19, When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. And often I find that my anxious thoughts do multiply. but just to think on his consolations, what is his character like? What kind of God do we have? And, you know, as I think on his love and his faithfulness, his mercy, his strength, his sovereignty, all that helps to give me peace. And then in the second verse is Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And worship music, I think just, you know, turning our thoughts away from ourselves and onto God brings a lot of peace. Yeah, and that's it.
A lot of my answers to that were things that they've already talked about. I think, like stopping, like it's such a mental battle with anxiety. I think there are times that I have to like tell myself out loud, no, like stop, Meg, like stop. Stop entertaining these thoughts. Stop hashing this out in your head. Stop. And then I think having a battle plan then, because we talked about this at our table, it can be hard to be like, okay, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Like, well, what am I going to replace those thoughts with? So I think that's where it's helpful to have a battle plan, especially if there are patterns in our anxious thoughts, like patterns in what we're fearful. Like, what am I going to tell myself from his word? It can be helpful to have verses memorized. I've had to do that. I think that's where music, worship music, comes into play. It's helped me so much. I'm not lucid enough, you know, at the middle of the night when I'm afraid sometimes to be like, okay, what verse do I need to remember? But I can remember songs. So like worship songs that like speak accurately the word of God, memorize those. Sing them, listen to them enough until you have them memorized. I also think it's helpful, we talked about those questions, but have like ask yourself specific questions so you can really pinpoint, like through the power of the Spirit, really see, okay, what exactly do I need to hear that pertains to this specific anxiety? That came into play a few years ago. Our daughter had to have brain head surgery. It was a pretty major surgery. And I felt like I was doing a good job preaching God's sovereignty, preaching his goodness, preaching his wisdom, but there was still just this turmoil in my heart. And my husband encouraged me, like, journal about it, write it out. And so I just kept asking, why? Okay, I'm afraid of this. Why am I afraid of this? I'm afraid she's going to die. Okay, what am I so afraid of if my daughter dies? Aside from the, like, of course I'd be grieving. And the Lord really helped me see, I'm afraid that God wouldn't be enough for me. My main fear is that if my daughter died, that I wouldn't have hope. Sorry, this still gets emotional. My main fear, I realized, was that if my child died, I wouldn't be able to cope or get over it. I was afraid God wouldn't be enough, that my relationship with Jesus, or really his relationship with me, wouldn't be strong enough, wouldn't be intimate enough or life-giving enough for me to go on. My main issue was, could I trust God to sustain my soul and be life to me even if my daughter died? And that helped me to know, okay, this is where I need to go. Yes, I needed to remind myself God was sovereign. That was good, but I needed more than that. And so I think that's where, I actually think I talk about some of those verses later. I needed specific verses that promised that God was preserving my soul, that he would sustain me, that he was my rock. So I think it's helpful to be specific so that we can like most accurately bring God's word to bear. Tell a friend, like there's something about humbling ourselves both before the Lord when we pray and asking a friend, like, help me. I'm in turmoil. I don't really know why. Like, give them permission to ask those questions. Like, okay, let's talk through this situation. Specifically, so she talked in the book about so many of the things I was thinking about Matthew 6. Personalize it to you. Like, don't just read, okay, sometimes the way God says it. But I think for me, I often will kind of rephrase it. Okay, God cares and provides for the birds of the air and flowers of the field perfectly with no help from me. Megan, he loves you and cares for you way more than the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. He died to redeem me. And just tell myself, this anxiety is achieving nothing good. God can be trusted with fill in the blank. Because he's proven himself to be trustworthy in the past. So like take those verses and make them your own. Psalms 139 and 90 both have some solid like where I go to, I need to remind myself that God can be trusted. The one I'm putting my hope in is actually worthy of my trust. And I think specifically reminding myself, the one I'm trusting is the eternal one. Before I was ever born, God assigned to me all the days that I would live, and like to our children and our husbands, like God has already predetermined this. Nothing can interfere with that. Specifically, there's like a worship song that walks through those verses. That's been super, super helpful.
So you mentioned telling a friend. So I did wonder, how can we be good friends? Anxiety is rampant, worry. What does it look like to be a good friend to someone who's struggling? How have people served you? So what would you say to that?
I guess a lot of things we've already talked about. I think prayer has been the biggest way people have served me. And then also when people communicate, not just, hey, I will be praying for you, but hey, I prayed for you today. This verse is on my heart for you. That's very helpful. I think also taking the time to really listen and helping the friend discern, like I talked about with those specific fears, like they may not need to be told, be of good cheer, God's sovereign. Like they may need to hear very specifically, like, hey, are you struggling with the fact that God is good as well as wise and powerful? Like, hey, let me encourage you in God's goodness. But I think we don't know that unless we really listen well, ask questions. So I think that's part of being a good friend in general, but specifically when they're dealing with anxiety.
Mine are the same, really. There is such power in prayer, and to know that people are praying for me gives me such peace. And you know, just to check up on someone and say, hey, how are you doing? Just letting someone know they're not in this trial alone. And that, you know, they have support.
Yeah, kind of exactly what they said. Just telling someone I'm here for as long as you need me. I've benefited from biblical counseling. I feel like it's kind of like being in a boxing match and, you know, you realize someone's in your corner, like telling you to get up and to keep fighting and to hold fast to the Lord. And so I think if you feel stuck, or you feel like you're in a dark corner, or you just can't seem to shake it, then I would suggest doing biblical counseling because that's been a blessing.
I'm going to repeat a little bit of what Megan said already about being a good, and actually everybody's be a good listener. I think work on your side. Work to understand their concerns. Be compassionate. Like, you know, it may seem like they may wrestle with something you've never wrestled with before. So you don't have any idea, like, I don't know what this is weird, you know, or I can't believe she's thinking that. But, you know, ask the Lord to help you walk with your friend and walk beside them and be in their shoes in some respects. That's really loving them well. And sometimes people are encouraged to go forward when they have somebody, like you said, someone in their court, but just someone who said, oh, I listened to you and wow, that's hard. You're showing those levels of care is important.
Shelly, I asked her to share, her son has been battling cancer for a couple years. And so she's had lots of opportunity to fight worry. And so I asked her if she'd just share about that and how God's met her. So we do that.
And I would love to testify to God's faithful kindness in doing this. To give you some history, our oldest son, Jonathan, was diagnosed with a pre-leukemia blood cancer 7 years ago. A year prior to that, we had lost a grandson, stillborn 4 days before his due date. As you can imagine, the loss of Isaac was heart-wrenching. But whereas his loss had been sudden and final, Jonathan's cancer journey would be long and drawn out and filled with uncertainty and doubts. A different kind of grief to walk through, more like a marathon than a sudden event. Lots of opportunities to lie awake at night and worry. But one thought steadied my mind and my heart as we processed Jonathan's news. God is faithful.
It's okay. Sorry. It's a women's meeting, I always say. Someone has to cry. It's fine.
We had seen God's faithfulness demonstrated over and over again in the past year as we grieved Isaac's loss. And I had seen it over and over again throughout my life. I would remind myself of this truth many times over the next 7 years when I found anxious thoughts multiplying in my mind. So we embarked on this journey with Jonathan with many prayers and tears and miracles along the way. After a year of chemo, Jonathan was finally ready for a stem cell transplant. The procedure went well, and he slowly recovered and gained strength and good health. All seemed to be going well. At his five-year post-transplant appointment, he had a good report. 5 months later, he was in the ER getting a platelet transfusion. The cancer had returned and had progressed to leukemia. Again, that cold feeling in the pit of my stomach as I heard the news. Again, the reminder that God is faithful even in this. Through all the ups and downs of this journey, God has been an ever-present help in time of need. I have had such sweet times of fellowship with him, reading and meditating on his word, praying and crying out to him for whatever the need is at the moment. To be in his presence imparts such peace. This trial has brought into sharper focus the reality that I'm always this needy before him. A cancer diagnosis just makes me more aware of that need. I think another one of God's graces through this has been his body. Just having, as we talked about, the body of Christ praying for us. So many people that didn't know Jonathan and his wife, Kristen, sending them cards, sending them gift cards for meals and all kinds of gifts for their kids. But just to know that we had that support system, the body of Christ, and many of you prayed for us, and I really appreciate it. It just gave me the sense that we were not facing this alone, and that was huge. And in his loving kindness, God bestows peace just when I need it the most. Stem cell transplants are considered the only means of healing Jonathan's type of leukemia. So finally, being ready for one is good news. However, they're risky procedures, and a second transplant is even riskier than the first. As we prepared for Jonathan's second transplant, with all those fears raging in my heart, along with the excitement that maybe his cure was coming, God spoke to me through Joshua chapter 1. Moses had just died, and Joshua was preparing to lead the Israelites into the promised land. Joshua and the Israelites had been waiting for this day for 40 years. Ahead of them lay the promised land, but also enemies and all the war that was required to take possession of the land. God spoke to Joshua, "Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Only be strong and very courageous." This command to be strong and courageous is repeated 4 times in the chapter. God went on to say, "Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." As I pondered this passage, I realized that excitement and fear were probably both felt by the Israelites, including Joshua at this time. God's command to be strong literally means to fasten upon, to cleave, to be constant. Joshua didn't have to muster up his own strength. He simply had to fasten upon and cleave to God, the rock who is our fortress and salvation. "I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you," God had promised. How many times in the coming weeks and months, God brought this passage to my mind. Just when I felt weak and worried, I was reminded to be strong, to cleave to my rock. My strength was in him. And that was a good thing because I had no strength of my own. And I'm happy to say that after his second stem cell transplant and surviving a flesh-eating bacteria shortly after, Jonathan's again on the road to recovery. Yes, I can heartily say that God is indeed a very present help in time of need. He alone gives the peace, comfort, and strength to weather any storm.
That's so great. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's so, in scripture, it so often says, recount God's faithfulness. And I just love hearing that from you, and that builds our faith. One last question, and just quick answers here, girls. What truth about God's character encourages you most when you are worried?
I think lately, one of the most encouraging things that he's been reminding me of is that he knows, and he doesn't just know, he cares. And really reminding myself of that. It makes a big deal when, like, God knows, and so it's okay that I don't. God has it figured out, so I can rest even though I don't have it figured out. And I think that all my days are held within his hands. Psalm 139 talks about that. And if my days are held in his hands, like, nothing can mess with the hands of God. So, and then I think too, his sovereignty, his perfect power and wisdom and goodness, being able to dwell on those aspects fuels my faith that he can handle my anxieties.
Mine is very much the same. The fact that he's both all powerful and all loving, he has the power to do all things, and he loves his children perfectly. He promises that he won't give a snake when we ask for a fish, though sometimes circumstances may look like a snake, but we can completely trust his promises.
I think the steadfast love of the Lord. I remember a friend just telling me in passing that every night she'll tell herself, "The Lord will never leave me or forsake me." And ever since I've heard that, I found myself saying that to myself, "The Lord will never leave me or forsake me." And just Psalm 147, how it says, "His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his steadfast love." And I love this passage because I think a lot of times anxiety will say to you, "You need to fix this now." And this passage says the exact opposite, that the Lord doesn't take pleasure in our ability to fix it, but in us trusting in him. And so I appreciate that.
I think the biggest thing, you kind of took the verse, but I think just the Lord's presence will be with me. And so he has said he will never leave us nor forsake us. And so that is my trust, is him to be with me in every moment and every good and bad thing that comes through life until we get to be with him.
That's great. Can we thank these ladies? Thank you, guys.